Accession number 26843, Reel 2.
Mr. Lyons, Reel 2. We were talking about the boys' brigade. You were just telling me about the full uniform.
Full uniform. If you was under... you joined the boys' brigade, actually, from when you was 11. Before that, you was... what did they call them? They were like the Cub Scouts.
Life boys.
Life boys, that was it. I was not in... I wasn't a life boy. I was in the boys' brigade from when we lived in uniform, so I must have been about 11. And the full uniform for 11-year-old was a sort of a blue, sergy material blouse or shirt, a tie, a blue tie, short... knickerbocker trousers, short trousers, which were blue, and we had a lanyard, a white lanyard, a forage cap which had white piping on it, and a leather belt with a brass buckle, and on various parade days we had like a white haversack that came across from right to left with a little pouch on it. I think that's what they called it, sort of thing. And they was had to be, if we had inspection and that was dirty, then you lost points on that, you know, you lost points on that. And not every Sunday, but probably two or three times a year, we would have a church parade, which we would start... although we was all attached to the Congregational Church, what that was called, the Congregational Church in them days, it's now United Reform, but it was Congregational Church, and we used to march from one side of the church, which was in Union Street where I lived, top of Union Street, round by the park at the top, and down Wood Street into the church, and that was a sort of a... everybody made a lot of noise. We had a drum and fife band, and occasionally we had these church parades, and we all done our duty and went to church, and which was a good thing. Now, coming back to the uniform again, if you was an adult, over 14 and over, you had long blue serge trousers, a jacket, which... a blue serge jacket which had these bluey black buttons with the boys brigade crest on them, and the same sort of thing with the brown belt, lanyard, forage cap, and this haversack that goes across from left to right. And of course all various activities what you done, what you took place on, like there was, if you was a good camper, you had little stars and little camp badges, and the more you got, the bigger head you've got, sort of thing, you know. And you became a lance corporal, a corporal, and as I say, a sergeant. And I finished up, because I've got nowhere to go, I finished up as a staff sergeant.
But what did the staff sergeant do?
Not a lot, as that, only to keep the younger element in order, because the young boys, I was a young boy, they used to probably used to raise terror. You was a sort of a just stood there and kept your eagle eye over everybody to make certain that everybody was really turned out and done what they was told to do.
Now, did the boys' brigade have any fire watching thing or
no,
ARP?
No. But what they did do later on, the older I did, you joined the Army Cadet Corps, whatever. We had khaki uniforms for that. I wasn't struck on all that, being in Army Cadet Corps. I didn't have that to me. I didn't.
So where was it set up at?
That was all set up in the same place, in the UN Hall, alongside the Congregational Church in Wood Street in Barnet. That's where all the activity of the Boys' Brigade... In fact, I still think that the Boys' Brigade activities are still conducted in the Ewing Hall in Wood Street, which is alongside the church in Brian, up in
now,
Barnet.
Tell us about the Army. I know you didn't like it much, but what was the training with the Army Cadet Corps?
Well, the Army Cadet Corps, similar sort of thing, only more stricter drills, and we did go away on a camp. We went there somewhere in Hertfordshire somewhere, but I only ever went the once because time was running out as far as I remember.
So what years were you in the Army? Would that be 42 to 3?
Well, something like that. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, not long. 42 to 3, yeah.
But you didn't do weapons training with them at all?
No, I didn't do any weapons training, no.
So other than that, those are the two things. You weren't in anything else?
No, I can remember, no.
Now, tell me about how you came to join the Navy and the whole background, because you volunteered first.
Well,
I
volunteered.
Tell us the whole story.
Well, you see, all my friends and mates that we all seem to work for the Northmet Power Company, and one by one, they was all joining up, and I was probably the youngest in month-wise, if you understand me. I mean, I was not going to be 18 until the July of 43, whereas others were 18 before that. But to join, so that I could join the Navy, which was my priority, which I wanted to join, you had to volunteer.
Now, why did you want to join the Royal Navy? Because here were you, your boys' brigade, drill.
I think
and
that
you
was
live in the middle of the country, you know, you're not near the
this
sea.
This is why. Oh, but the thing is, there is that all my mates had joined the Navy. Had I left it and would have been conscripted, which was that was what happened in those days. You would be conscripted at 18, or about 2 or 3 months before, probably, and you didn't have a choice of where you wanted to go. If you volunteered for anything at 17 and a half, you got your choice. But if you volunteered for the Navy, well, then you. But then, like I was going to say, that at 17 and a half, I got my call up papers. But unfortunately,
so tell me about volunteering. That would be about January 17th.
Well, something like that. Yeah, it'd be about that jump. Yeah, because that would be about something like that. It didn't take long. It didn't take long. You volunteered. You didn't take long before you got your papers to.
Now, where did you go to volunteer? And what was there any kerfuffle? You know, check or anything?
No. Yes.
When you first volunteered,
You first volunteered, you had a sort of a medical. Now you had this medical. I went for my medical at Edgware Territorials in Deansbrook Road, Edgware Road, on the corner of Deansbrook Road and Edgware Road. I think the building's still there. I'm not certain. We went for a medical there, and. As far as I'm concerned, must have passed A1 because I got accepted into the Navy. But for some unknown reason, I have no idea why, I got pneumonia and I didn't go. It was past my date of joining up. And I never went in the Navy. I got over my pneumonia. And I never joined up until the August of 1943.
So, which was when you would have joined up anyway?
When I would have joined up anyway.
But you were still classed as a volunteer?
Still classed as a volunteer, yeah.
Were you very bad with pneumonia? I mean, it's quite...
I was, yeah, because it was about six... In those days, I was about 6 weeks. It was bad. And I know pneumonia and pleurisy, it was bad. I mean... The drugs today is nothing. I mean, we had, the hospital's not there anymore, but it was the cottage hospital it was in Barnet. That was funny enough, that was opposite the Ewing Hall, when it was a hospital, right opposite the Ewing Hall, where we done our boys' brigade, was the cottage hospital. Now, I was working in those days. We worked Saturday mornings, you know, and I was working Saturday morning, and I said to this electrician I was working with, I said, you know what, I don't feel funny. I said, I've got a really terrible pain in my chest, under my ribs, and with that, I sort of, and I was all come out in a big sweat, and he sent me home, and my parents called the doctor, which he was not a happy sight. I shouldn't have, not knowing my doctor in those days, be called out on a Saturday, but before I knew, Saturday afternoon, I was in a cottage hospital, so I never did go and join up when I should have done. So that's, but yes, pneumonia was a pretty, was not a pretty, so it was a pretty thing to get, not in those days, definitely wasn't. They didn't have the drugs like they got now. I think we had had a tablet called M&B, which had a number, but for the, I don't know what this number was. M&B was, M&B stood for May and Baker, but the number was a drug, was something that they gave you for pneumonia. In, I can't tell you, but I know it was M&B. M&B with a number.
Now, you were called up then, you know, mm-hmm. Delayed in August 1943.
Yeah, Nordic.
Now, where were you sent to then? Where back, were you to
well, I went to, we start off from Edgware. We had to report to Edgware Territorial Unit. And then we all went from there, quite a group of us, we all went from there to the Royal Arthur at Skegness via the tube and trains and one thing or another, and we all found our own way to Skegness, and then we was, but I don't remember being met at Skegness and taken to Royal Arthur, because that was only Butlins, it was only Butlins holiday camp, I mean it was, but we was put in these sort of, well, they were sort of brick cut things. They were, well, I suppose what the holiday maker,
chalets,
yeah. What the holiday maker.
Now, can you describe them? I know it's a long time ago, but what were these chalets like? Can you give us an idea?
Which is like a small, that there was, they was in a line like bricks. Can I show you?
It's better because they need to, for you to describe, you know. They can look at it, we'll put a picture in your file perhaps later. Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, some were wooden and some were brick. But on the ones that were the brick ones, which we went in first, they was just like an ordinary brick room with about maybe a dozen or more bunks in there. Two-tier bunks. And we was only in there for a couple of three nights until we was all sorted out, and then we was all probably two or three to a wooden chalet, which if anybody's ever been to a holiday camp, these chalets are all in a big square and they overlook the tennis courts and things like that. Well, they did then. I mean, wooden chalets are all gone now, I know, but that's what it did. That's what it was like. And then I was there.
So just with bunks in?
Bunks. You had bunks in there. Yeah, just the same. You know, you had bunks. And you was all kitted out, you see.
Tell me, what were you kitted out with? Do you remember?
Well, we had a hammock. I know we had a hammock and bedding. Two blue suits. We had two of everything. Two shirts, two collars, two pairs of boots, and one white duck suit. Whatever it was made of, this duck suit thing, and I never even wear it, I never wore it. It was made of, looked like starched linen. You'd stand it up, it would stand up on its own, you know. That went to the bottom of the kit bag, and that just sort of made the kit bag stand out at the bottom, so when you went on anywhere else, that was at the bottom. I think mine was filthy, dirty time. I never even wore it. I never wore it at all. Now, while I was there, you'd done virtually naval duties, sort of thing.
Can we look at it through a typical day? Because that brings up a lot.
A typical day.
So what time would you start off in the morning?
Well, because there was such a vast number of people there, And if anybody's ever been to Skegness, all these various ballrooms had their names. Oh, now I can't think of the names of what I. But they was all named. They renamed them, and it was all naval names, like Vernon and one thing and another. And you was allocated there, and that was your mess hall. You was to go there when it was feeding time. You went to the dining hall, and you just stood there. But the days were taken
well,
up.
Let's look at the mess hall. So you go to this, you know, picking yeah. the, you go to the mess hall for breakfast.
Yeah.
What sort of, how was it doled out to you? What sort of food would you get?
Well, I don't know. It was. Don't really remember. It was.
Do you remember whether you, did you have enough of it?
Was oh,
it
good yeah. I think that was about it. I think you had enough. But looking back, probably you just say, "Well, how did ever you have to ever eat it?" You know, because there was always porridge. You know, there was this great big dollop of porridge and one thing and another. And but there was that was it. I mean. Things were tight, rationed and all, everything, and they done their best with what they had, really did.
And you managed to eat it all?
Oh, we managed to eat it. I mean, I was going to come to this, but meal times, in a lot of my experience, I could never relate to meal times. Now, I've got no idea as to, I mean, even going on the later on, I can't relate to eating meals. I don't remember it. Various places I can, but I'm not.
That's fair enough. That's quite common. So, you know,
it's similar, you know. But anyway.
After breakfast, what would you do after breakfast?
Well, you've done seamanship. There was knot tying and things like that. And I joined as an ordinary telegraphist. That's how I got in. Now,
tell us about seamanship training first.
All right. Seamanship training was there was a petty officer past his sell by date who was showing you how to tie knots, and you had these pieces of rope, and they showed you what sort of knots to charge and things that they used and. Anyway, and then of course you all had this drills, the same thing, and you had boat pulling. They had these boats that were moored in the swimming pools, and you weren't going anywhere, but you was rowing like the devil, and you weren't going anywhere because they was in the swimming pool. These boat pulling exercises, but
so that's seamanship.
Seamanship.
Now, what about drill? Because you'd have been good at drill, surely.
Well, that was okay. We'd done all that, like I'm saying. Only that was on a larger scale. That was okay. We got over that, but that was only sort of what's the word we're looking for? I suppose it better make us more, I don't know. It was, the drilling was there for to make you more, how can I put this? Reliable, probably, you make more of a man out of you, sort of a thing. More responsible and know which way was up, left from right. Because a lot of men, call them men, you've got to call them men because they was 18. They never knew where they left from their right. Petty officer told you to turn left or right or whatever it was, left, right, left, and they was all out of step, and nobody knew their left from their right. Actually, it was quite hilarious, really, these little drills. But then they had these classes, what they call classes. Now, as I say, I joined the Navy to be a telegraphist. You called them, they was hotels, ordinary telegraphists.
Had you picked that?
I picked that. That's the only way I could get in. I didn't want to be anything else. I did. That was the way to get in. Not that I wanted to be one. There was anything as long as I could get in. That was what.
And that was from your electrical connections?
Sort of. Yeah, you join the Navy as an ordinary telegraphist, and you put down ordinary telegraphist, and you'd be in. They source you out later, which they did. It certainly did.
So how much telegraph, what were these classes in?
Well, no, a minute. I never passed. I never passed the delivery. I never win it.
But you haven't told us what you never passed first.
The telegraphy, I went in to be sussed out sort of thing as to whether I was going to be any good at it, you know. But they gave us these tests, and I was no good at being a telegraphist. No good at being a telegraphist at all. This was probably what it was. The Morse code would have been the dots and the dashes and the things. And of course, being also a telegraphist, there was a sort of amount of what they called flags. Although the telegraphy was split later on, it was split into two parts. You had the telegraphist, which was Morse code, and you had the flags, which was semaphore, you know, was semaphore with flags. But I was no good at either. I was no good at either of them.
It was just something you weren't any good at.
No good at it, no. So they didn't know what to do with me.
Now, before we go on to what happened when you failed the course, what other training did you have? Was there any other training you particularly remember, Royal Arthur?
No, not a lot. They had, training, they done like a lot of these. You had all these, what do you call it, gymnast class, you know, all these here jumping strides and all that sort of thing and running and that.
Now, did that work? I mean, were you naturally fit from all, or did it help you, do you think?
I think it helped me a bit, you know, although I've never been an athletic type in all my life. I mean, never have been, but the... yes, there was all these athletic sort of things going on. Gym classes, and they vaulting horses and things, you know, and running and relay racing, and it's activity, it's athletic activity, probably.
Now, what about in the evening? I mean,
In the evening time, they did have naffies, these big naffies, canteens and that, which you could. They had in some of these, what were the ballrooms, they had, I think they're probably still called the same thing, there was the old Pig and Whistle and all that sort of thing. They was the names of the bars in there, and you could go in there and refresh whatever you wanted to buy your
They were wet canteens.
Wet canteens, yeah.
Now, did you drink by then? I mean, you're still only just 18.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, yes, because... if you want to go back a little bit, before I joined up, I'm not going to say I was a drunkard, because I couldn't have been. Our half of mainline beer, we used to go to a dancing, that's before I joined up, but this is where I sort of learnt to drink, if you know, if there was such a thing. But no, I used to frequent these places in these things, but not to the extent. We never had the money to bring. What would you be get? 14 shillings a fortnight. I mean, you never had the money, and I think half of that had to be taken home to my mother.
So when you went to the Navy, you would have the odd drink, but
you couldn't afford much more. You couldn't afford a lot anyway, because they made certain of that. You couldn't afford a lot. I mean, I all the time I was there, I never went. A lot of the lads went into Skegness. I never went in there because I'd either got to walk into Skegness, and that's a fair old trot from Skegness camp to into the Skegness town. I never went there. So I mean, I was all the time I was there. I was sort of based in the camp all the time, and you make your own amusements. I think there was tombola. They called it tombola in those days.
Games in the canteen. Oh
yeah, you got all that sort of thing. Yeah, you could recreation space. Yeah, there was recreation space.
Now, what about preparing for kit inspections, that kind of thing? Were there a lot of? Were they strict
They weren't. No, I don't. I can't recall having kit inspections. No, I can't recall.
Now, about the rest of the lads? How did you get on with your fellow recruits?
Well, there was quite well, really. There was three that I sort of chummed up with, two or three. They was both, three of them, they came from, one was from not far away, Palmer's Green, another one, Edmonton and Tottenham. And we was, because we all sort of spoke their own language. We knew one another. So, but there was one came from Manchester, which was quite a nice lad. Names I don't remember, their names, but...
There's no. Were they all from the same sort of background as yourself?
Yeah, they're all same background, yeah.
Any bullying from others, you know?
I can't recall any bullying whatsoever, none whatsoever.
What about the instructors? What were they like?
Some of them, the PTIs could be rather nasty, and also the GIs, not that I ever came up with the GI, the gunnery instructors, not that I ever came up with the gunnery instructors, mind you, they had a world of their own. They was like any gunnery instructor, I'll tell you now, they are a world of their own, they really are. But the PTIs and the gunnery instructors would also be doing the... like doing your drills and that sort of thing, you know, and marching and all that. But it could be a bit naughty. But I never had that. As long as you kept your nose clean, you just stayed out of trouble. I stayed out of trouble. I didn't want to get any. I'm all green to this. I mean, this is all a new world to me, and I don't even know why I bothered. I think to myself. I used to think to myself, whatever have I done here, you know, why have I done this? But anyway, because it was, I'd either got to do it the easy way, the volunteer way, or do it the hard way and be conscripted and do something totally that you didn't want to do.
Now, you failed the course we mentioned earlier. Now, tell us a story, we had it off tape, but not on tape, about how you were told at divisions.
Well, under divisions, this division, like I say, it was... Sunday morning divisions, which is virtually a big church parade, you know, that sort of thing, and you're all standing there, and the admiral, whoever he was, or the commander of the base, said a few words, and we all done left turns, right turns, he was a master at arms, I'm pretty certain he was, and he as I say, he came, walked down this road, these we was all in right, he said, now right, you look. You're wanted for combined operations. When you're dismissed, you report to somebody or other. Anyway, we had to report to this office, regulating office.
Now, what did you think when he said? I mean, did you know what combined operations was?
I hadn't got a clue what combined operations was. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Anyway, so we went to this regulating office.
And this was as a... Did you know then that this was as a wireman?
No, they sort of interviewed you, if the word is interviewed you, as to what you was doing before you could join the Navy. When I said I was working for an electricity board, the North Met Power Company, and there wasn't an electricity board then, as a wireman's boy, a wireman's assistant, electrician's assistant, whatever. Oh, well, then, they said, you can be, we'll train you as a wireman for landing craft, wireman LC. I said, thanks very much. What's that? And nobody said, well, you'll find out as you go along, sort of thing. Well, I left Royal Arthur...
So that would be in September, 43.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I've left Royal Arthur, and believe it or not, I went to what they called HMS Shrapnel.